From the PSIA ASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon, I'm George Thomas. You're listening to First Chair, and I am so proud to announce our guest this evening, Murmur Blakesley, is joining us. Murmur, it has been way too long since we last spoke, and I'm really thankful that you made the time to chat with us this evening.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Murmur, last time we spoke, we were talking about you winning a very special award. I would love for you just to give us a little bit of background on how you got into instruction and where you are now.
How did I get into it? You're not going to believe this. I got into it because I needed to make some money.
I don't believe that.
And I was, I'm a writer. And so I thought, well, I have to go make some money, so I will start ski teaching in the winter. And I remember I made $101 a week, and I had a kid that I had to support, believe it or not. So it was very, very slim pickings. But what happened was I fell in love with it. And then, yeah, that's what happens. You fall in love, and your life goes to pot.
And where are you teaching now?
I'm probably the only person I know who has ever done this. I'm teaching at the exact same place I started, which was Windham, New York. Wow. That's where I've always, that's always been my home base. It's over 45 years, something crazy.
Oh, that is incredible.
So, yeah, and I grew up skiing there. It was called Cave Mountain, and I started skiing there in 1960. And I think I'm probably one of the longest-term skiers there, except for my brother.
Wow. Well, tell us how you got involved with Women's Summit, and then how you selected your topics for clinics and for presentation.
Well, it has to do with money again. This is going to sound funny, but I was really poor, making only $101 a week. And then I found out, I heard my colleagues talk about how these fraidy ladies and people were scared and they hated teaching fearful people. And I was a ski racer, so I knew a lot about fear. And I thought, wow, I'd love to teach frightened people. So I went to the private lesson desk and said, listen, if you have anybody who's frightened, give them to me. I'll love them. And I started teaching them exactly the way I would teach myself when I was scared during a downhill. I developed a few strategies. So I started doing these strategies with them, but even though they were just on a beginner slope or maybe a intermediate slope, I did some of the same stuff, and I developed a whole program around fear. And I've always been interested in the mental and the emotional and the psychological side of skiing, because to me, skiing is such a great metaphor for life and for other activities. And everything you do has to do with some kind of pushing beyond your limits and surrendering a little to the unknown and taking a risk. And skiing is just such a great metaphor for that. And so I just enjoyed teaching people who skiing meant more to than just, you know, a perfect turn, or it just meant a lot to them. So I started doing this, and a lot of my work with what I talk about comes out of that connection with fear and the mental side of skiing. And then getting into PSIA, there's a lot of performance and performance anxiety. So again, I worked with myself in that area, and then I realized that other people needed that too.
I love this. And I mean, I just think of you racing downhill, and that you actually use techniques to help you that helped you with new skiers. I love that you put all this together. So when you were asked to present at Women's Summit, how did you come up with your topics? Because it sounds like you taught some pretty fun stuff.
I did a keynote back 2 years ago, or no, it was right before COVID. So it was 2020 at Snowbird. I did the keynote on training for performance. And I knew that was going to be a big topic this year because of the tryouts and because a lot of people are heading into exams during the season. So I wanted to do a little bit about how to self-coach for performance. And I also like to work with failure. I talk about the importance of failure, and I've developed a whole series of lectures on the importance of failure. I have about 15 hours of lectures on fear, performance, anxiety, failure, all this stuff. And I just decided, Maggie and I talked, and we just said, let's do the art of self-coaching, how to know, stretch, and respect your limits. And it's based on a lot of lectures I've done on working toward the point of failure to stretch your skills. And a lot of this comes from racing, too. When you think about coming out of a starting gate, you don't think, oh, do I look good? Am I skiing well? You try to go as fast as you can, pretty much. And it's, you know, you're trying to go around line, but it pretty much is as straight as you can until you screw up. You get to the point of failure, you back off, you correct, and then you carry on again. Well, I've always skied like that. I've always stretched to the point of failure, even in a short hill, even in a little hill. I'll probably hit the point of failure 3 or 4 times in a run. I just do. I go tighter, harder, faster, slower, whatever challenge I'm facing, and I push right to that. Back off, push again, right to that. If I'm on one ski or, you know, trying to go on one ski, I do everything bringing my strength right up to the edge. And I just have always skied that way. And then I started to realize that other people liked skiing that way, because you're not always learning new skills. A lot of times you're taking skills you have and you want to stretch them and move them into, you know, areas that you can't do yet. So let's say you do you want an example?
Absolutely. I look amazing on a groomed slope, but you get me off into the crud or powder or into bumps, and all of a sudden it all goes away. And I mean, you have the skills, but are you stretching maybe a little too far then when you get into that kind of terrain? How do you look at that?
Well, that's a good way to think about it, because you might be stretching too far. A lot of people, I remember I had a coach once who talked about, I had very few gradations on my dial, he said. I went from 50% to 110%. So I went from sort of skiing sort of okay to skiing amazing until I exploded. So so then I realized I had to create more gradations on the dial. How do you do that? So I'll give you an example that doesn't have terrain in it, but it's just on your groomed slope. Let's say you can't ski on your right ski very well. So you start out on both skis, skiing well, you're in your comfort zone, and you just start going 60-40 on your hard side. Let's say your right side isn't very good. So you go 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, 90-10. Do you see how you're developing gradations?
Yep.
In your on, then you go 90, okay, and then you get right up. Let's say you start to fail about 92. you pull back to maybe 85 and you start skiing well again. 85, 15, only 15% on the other ski. You move up again and you push again, and then you hit a point of failure. Maybe nobody else sees that point of failure, but you know you just skidded out, or you're no longer skiing well. So you develop these gradations. And so instead of going like just picking your ski up near your ear and then flopping around in wallowing in failure. Do you see the difference? You're spreading your strength into your limitations instead of just jumping right in.
I like the sound of that, spreading your strength into your limitations. I really like that a lot.
I sometimes say it's like skiing into the unknown. How far can I go before I screw up? Now, what's funny is most people don't like to feel like they're screwing up, right? You want to ski well. but screwing up is the most important part of this process, because if you're aware of when you screw up, then you can start to self-coach. So your goal is to go to that point of failure and know it. The most agonizing part of skiing, I've glorified. Because, you know, it's very hard to know that here I am again. There goes that left knee. There goes that hip. It's goddamn funny. You know, there goes that tail that went flying out. You know, but if you know it, if you're aware of that, that's the beginning point of learning. And then you can self-coach from there. You have to back off a little. That's always hard for some people. You can't just wallow and try harder at 90% if you're failing. You have to back off to 85 and self-correct, or 70 maybe. But all this way, you start developing these gradations on your dial and you get more refined. So you can fail without anybody knowing you're failing.
Yeah. I take it your gradations are no longer 50 and 150.
Yeah, no, they're getting pretty subtle because I'm getting pretty old. So that's the other part, is you need to have a constructive failure. You don't want to have a blow-up failure,
right?
Or give your student a blow-up failure, especially if they're aging and they have osteoporosis or something. You want to have it a constructive failure, and you want to have it. You make that failure into data that you can work with.
Now, how is this received by your group? I spoke with one of the people who was skiing with you, absolutely loved it.
Oh, well, this was in my talk that I did. I didn't push all my group toward failure right away. I always say, I need to know you before I can abuse you. I need to know and love you before. No. What we did in our group was to actually develop tools so that people could ski steeper and harder and terrain, like bumps and powder and all that. That's what we did.
So you really worked on skills that would allow people to push their limits.
Yeah, and actually would allow them to get back in the comfort zone if they were freaked out. So if you're on groomed terrain, you might want to push your limits right to the edge. If you're on hard terrain, a really tough terrain, you want to relax your body and give yourself tools to put yourself in the comfort zone and then work gently toward your good skiing. So just like you're working from, let's say, you know, on groomed terrain, you're pushing from 80 to 100. You're doing the opposite with gradations on hard terrain. You're starting, let's say you start in a side slip, and then you you go from there into a shaped schmear, and then you go from there and you build into your good scheme. And so so it's in a way the counterpart to that other process of moving toward failure. You're actually starting from ease and relaxation and moving toward more and more success.
I love it. Well, speaking of success, you were just telling me that the season is kind of coming to a close. You're losing snow out east right now. And what are you most optimistic about? What are you most looking forward to, actually, for the rest of this season?
Oh, for the rest of this season?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see. We've got a National Academy, so there will be a lot of Easterners who will be very happy to get to some snow again. We have that. I'm still planning on doing a women's performance camp here. And I don't know if you know, but the women have no alpine members. The East has no alpine women going to the tryouts this year, and we feel really bad about that. We have two snowboarders and we have a adaptive candidate going, which is great, and they're wonderful, but we have no alpine women. So I was there at the selection process, and I was so inspired by especially the teaching of some of these women, and I was so inspired by their courage and finesse and everything in their skiing as well. And I just said, next, we have 4 years, guys, and you've got to be able to get to this tryout. And I decided to do a women's performance camp here, and I've had a lot of support from Carrie Reed and Kathy Brennan. And it's going to be next in a week with all the ed staff on all the women ed staff in the East, just to get some mojo going for the women here.
I love it. In fact, we should do a podcast check-in from there if you're up for it.
Yeah, I'd like to. We're going to have talks on performance. We're going to have a workshop on getting what you need and getting what you want to fulfill your goals. We're going to do it's going to be a great powwow.
Oh, that's fantastic. Anything you want to say in conclusion? We are going to have you on again very soon.
You asked what I was optimistic about. I do feel great about PSIA. I can't speak for Ozzy so much because I don't know as much as what's happening in that side of things. But I feel great that so much attention is being put on teaching, because I think I did some exams recently and the teaching is getting better. And even more important than attention on teaching is the attention on learning. And I know we have a long way to go, but I'm really excited about that. I'm really thinking about learning rather than just performing.
Well, Marmer Blakesley, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us. And I really look forward to speaking with you again in the very near future.
Oh, me too. So we do it again, George.
From the PSIA AASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon, I'm George Thomas.